call this meeting to order. Thank you for joining us for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting of October 4th, 2023. May we have a call to order and roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Here.
Director Karen Bright?
Here.
Director Lam George?
Here.
All present.
Very good. Thank you so much. If you would all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, at this time we'll move on to agenda review. Do any of my colleagues have any additions or questions or want to pull any of these items?
No, I'm fine.
No? Okay. We want a motion for this, yes? No? Okay. So now we'll move on to a public comments on items not appearing on the agenda. I have no speaker slips. I don't see anyone rushing to the podium, so I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the dais. We'll move on to the consent agenda. We have two items, 5A, approval of warrants, and 5B, approval of minutes, meeting minutes of September 6, 2023. Anybody have questions or comments on either one of these items? No? I would entertain a motion, please.
I'll make a motion that we improve the consent agenda, 5A and 5B.
Second. Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Do we want a roll call for this?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Lam George?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to the good stuff. Action items. Item 6A, which is a contract for coastal hazard monitoring with RINCON consultants. And are you going to handle this?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. The item before you is a contract for coastal hazard monitoring with RINCON Consultants, their local environmental firm. The recommendation is that your board authorize the District Administrator to execute a contract for environmental monitoring services with RINCON Consultants in the amount of $80,396 and to authorize the District Administrator to execute future contract amendments if required with RINCON Consultants for the coastal hazard monitoring program an amount of up to $3,993, 5% of the total amount, to address any unanticipated changes to the monitoring program during the coming year, so for a total cost of $84,389. I'm not going to read all the words here, but the scope, generally I'll just talk. So coastal hazards monitoring plan was a requirement from the Coastal Commission back in 2017 when we got approval to build the redundancy project. Our site is located in next to a creek and next to a lagoon, and so one of the conditions was that in perpetuity, we're going to have to do this coastal hazards monitoring where we look at rain and flood events and monitor those and report on any issues that we had at the plant throughout the year and turn that into the Coastal Commission. And so that's been going on. This is the fifth year that we'll be starting this. And so that's what the item really is in front of you for, is to continue to meet that permit requirement from the Coastal Commission. And as the outcome says, it'll provide the district with the necessary monitoring and reporting of the coastal hazards and satisfy our regulatory condition as part of the coastal development permit. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions your board might have.
Questions to my left? To my right?
No questions.
And I have no questions. Okay, then.
Well, one question.
Okay.
The annual report goes to the Coastal Commission. Is there anywhere else it goes?
Yeah, also the Regional Water Quality Control Board gets a copy of it.
Okay.
Okay, I'm looking for it. Let me go here. Sorry.
So.
Okay. Have we any public comment on this, on item 6A? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. And I'm looking for a motion, please.
I'll make a motion that the board authorize the district administrator to execute the contract for environmental monitoring services with Rincon Consultants up to $84,389.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll second it.
Very good. Motion and a second. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Lon George?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Item 6B, Contract Amendment 1 for WWTP Redundancy Project Administration Services with MKN and Associates.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Yes, the item in front of you is Contract Amendment 1 for Wastewater Treatment Plant Redundancy Project Administration Services with MKN and Associates. Recommendation is that you authorize the District Administrator to execute a contract amendment for continued wastewater treatment plant redundancy project administration services with MKN and Associates in the amount of $140,506. That's the amended amount. To have a total amended contract of $259,955. So the scope of this contract is to attend project meetings through the remainder of construction, report project status to the board as we do quarterly and monthly now that we've had the damage, provide construction phase support services as the district representative, provide technical support to the district for the startup and commissioning, coordinate with USDA staff and district as needed for the USDA financing, assist in developing a ribbon cutting ceremony when the project's completed, and assist with the SC2 damage investigation and review, and provide as needed staff support services related to the project. And one of the things to note in developing this is about $110,000 of the $140,000 that we're asking for is a result of the contract duration being extended by the secondary clarifier. So basically, we have to have MKN continue to provide these services while the project is delayed, and so that's why we're amending their contract to provide additional funds to do that. Some of these costs, the majority of these costs, will be offset by liquidated damages that are being charged to the contractor and consultant for the delays. So that's where some of the funding will be offset from. So for our outcome, the contract will provide necessary professional resources to supplement and support the district for the redundancy project, including completion of construction assumed in April of 2024, and then complete project closeout activities. And with that, that ends my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions, Dora?
Well, just to be clear, so this $140,000 is in addition to the regular, this is an additional charge now because we have to go on into a longer.
Yeah, so this is approximately eight more months of construction support from them and project management support. So we should have been winding down right now. The project should have been done about 60 days ago, but they're still working, and so that's what the money's for. Yeah.
And then we do have a way to get that back, you were saying?
Yes, yeah. To be completely some of that's, yes, that is being collected and being deducted. I do want to communicate that there's the potential for them to challenge some of these costs, and so that'll be worked out at the end. So I don't want to say they're already paying this because that would be untrue, but they may resist paying all of the liquidated damages. So that's why I say it's largely offset and should be fully offset, but we don't know if fully yet.
Okay. All right. That's all I had.
Thank you. To my right. So I guess for clarification here then, so they will stay on until the project is complete. They will do the construction management or the construction oversee the repairs and so on?
Correct.
Okay. Very good. All right. Thank you. That's all for me as well. So if there are no other comments, we could entertain a motion.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the contract amendment 1 for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project with MKN and Associates in the amount of $1,506.
Thank you. Oh, I do. Thank you so much. It takes a village. I neglected to ask for public comment, so I'm opening public comment. Seeing none, we'll close public comment and come back to our second.
Second.
Thank you. First, we have a motion and a second.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Lon George?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we move on to 6C, the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project, secondary clarifier damage update, number 3.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. This is the third time coming to your board to update you on the damage to the secondary clarifier. Recommendation is just to receive and file this update. So last month at the September meeting, staff discussed the status of the investigation and the concrete failure on the newly constructed clarifier, and the team was analyzing five potential different causes that we explained to your board. The unforeseen site condition, which was ruled out, the act of God, natural disaster, was ruled out, construction defect was ruled out, and as of last month, we were still investigating the potential material failure and the potential design error. So since the September 6th board meeting, the district's investigation into the failure, the project team has reached concurrence on the cause of the failure. Through our third-party review of the design calculations for the structure and multiple meetings with Kennedy Jenks, it has been determined that the primary contributor to the failure is the design of the floor slab. There appears to have been both calculation and assumption errors in the design that led to a floor thickness that could not adequately withstand the hydrostatic pressure. This issue only exists in the floor section, and the remaining portions of the structure appear to be adequate after review. So on the potential material failure, that's now ruled out. We talked about that last month, that the shrink-reducing agent, the SRA, the additive. So our initial review of potential causes identified the concern based on the lack of that additive, that additive would have potentially reduced concrete shrinkage. In reviewing this issue with the designer, that would have been the contractor's responsibility to make sure that that material was adequate. But in reviewing this issue with the designer, they indicated that the shrink-reducing agent likely had minimal effect on the failure that had occurred. So they were accepting that it was the design and not the material issue. And so we've kind of summarized our conclusion on that and moved on to just the design error moving forward. So that's our identified cause at this point. And so in conjunction with MKN and Smith Structural Group, that's our third party independent reviewer of the structural design. The review revealed that the initial design did not fully evaluate the floor section for the variety of loads that the structure experiences. Kennedy Jenks is currently working on a revised design to replace and reinforce the floor. So some next steps. KJ is preparing a design for removal, replacement, and anchoring of the floor in addition to replacing the floor slab with a thicker section. Micropile anchors will be used to further protect against hydrostatic uplift. And so micropile anchors are, to just maybe try to describe it, imagine at 8-foot spacing on the floor of this concrete floor of the clarifier that there are 30-foot-long screws going into the ground. And so that's really what a micropile is, or these micro anchors that prevents the uplift that would come from the floor and cause that floor to raise up and crack. So we reviewed about five different alternatives, three alternatives and a couple hybrid alternatives. And the one that advanced has obvious advantages. It replaces the entire damaged section of the floor in its entirety. Some of the repairs did not achieve that. It maintains the complete volume and capacity of the clarifier. Some of the other methods were actually adding concrete to the bottom and capping the floor damage, and so we would lose capacity of that tank. And so we would really prefer to have the treatment available for the full volume of the tank, since we did pay for that size of tank. It avoids modifying and replacing the steel clarifier mechanism. Some of those other options that would have raised that floor would have required us to remove a large steel piece of equipment and ship it back to Utah, have it modified and shipped back. The alternative that's advancing doesn't require that because the floor and the top are staying the same with the repair that's being pursued. It eliminates the pressure relief valves, and those are some valves that we talked about a little bit on the previous meetings where it's supposed to let water into the tank. It's really a nuisance for us to have it coming in, and with the reinforcement, they're no longer necessary. So those will be removed as part of this design change. And so the other advantage is it provides a wide range of operational flexibility for taking the clarifier offline. Some of the other alternatives may have had us have to like pump down groundwater in order to be able to take the tank offline, and we didn't want to have to bring pumps out, spend electricity, and get environmental clearance to dewater the site to take a piece of equipment that we need to be able to take offline. So that was kind of an important operational need that we had. So we expect to receive 75% construction plans later in October, and those plans will include a schedule for the repair, and I'll be able to report to the board next month, I believe, with some schedule on what we're looking like as far as completing that repair, and we'll continue to update your board at every meeting until the repair is complete. And that concludes my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you.
I have lots of questions. So will MKN be helping us through this process? Because I see, like, if you go to the previous item, that MKN would be assisting with SC2 damage investigations and review?
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to be our main consultant?
So MKN acts as the district engineer. So we don't have a district engineer on staff. And so MKN is really working as an extension of staff. So the way we're set up, they do what's called project administration. And then we have another consultant, MNS, doing construction management that's actually overseeing the construction, the contractor's work. So MKN's role has been at the staff level, dealing with financing, making sure that what Kennedy Jenks is recommending for repair, that it's adequate, because MKN is they're a wastewater focused water and wastewater focused design team. And so, yes, they will be. Miss Eileen Shields, who's in the audience right now, is the staff that's been working for us. And so, yes, she'll be overseeing the repair until we're done. We're thinking it'll be sometime in April.
Thank you. So you said there was MKN, and you said there was one other.
Yeah, MNS.
MNS. So my next question to you would be, the review was reviewed that the initial design did not fully evaluate the floor section. So who did the initial design and who reviewed it?
So that was Kennedy Jenks. And so our staff reviewed it, and we paid for QA and QC by the designer to do quality assurance and quality control of their design. So they had their own internal review doing quality control.
Say that slower. So who, yeah. you said staff engineering, but we don't have engineering. We source out to MKN. So did MKN do the review?
No, not at that time. MKN was brought onto the project after that. So when I say staff reviewed it, so we didn't do an engineering review. We paid for an engineering review by the designer, doing by asking for QA/QC. And staff review is really just Michael Jones and myself looking at it more from an operational standpoint. Will it provide the features that we need? But as far as doing any type of detailed structural analysis, that wouldn't have even been the type of role that an engineer that was doing that type of review wouldn't have gone into that detail to identify that that missing feature. That really had to be captured by the designer. They should have caught that. But I know I understand the question you're asking. But yeah, so we've done an operational review throughout to make sure the plant met our needs. But as far as the detailed structural designs, we did not have. We weren't expected to provide that review.
Of course. Yeah. And I would never expect that you would have. So did Kennedy Jenks, and I apologize.
Go ahead.
Kennedy Jenks design it?
Yes, Kennedy Jenks designed it.
And the reason I'm asking is I'm a little concerned about this last line that says there's no indication that the district will incur direct costs, but I'm not sure that it doesn't give me the warm fuzzies. It doesn't say that we aren't going to incur the costs.
Right, and the reason I phrase it that way is because just me preparing this staff report's a cost, right? And so I'm not recouping those type of costs. So when I say indirect, it's more internal staff, myself and Michael having to engage in these continued meetings. Those costs currently aren't being captured. And that's why I say those indirect costs. Now, as far as paying for MKN services and paying for construction of the repair, all of that is expected to be fully covered by the designer.
Okay. TBD.
Yeah.
Thank you for answering my question. That was all I had.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yeah. So this alternative here, this is the one you say you're looking at for the repair?
Correct.
So you're talking about dewatering. There will not be dewatering to do this?
So to do the repair, yes, we will have to dewater temporarily again. When I was referring to not having, we wouldn't want to have to do that in 2 years if we needed to drain that tank.
Okay, so there will be dewatering. Is there any...
That was one of the alternatives that was proposed would have required us to dewater every time we wanted to empty the tank, and that alternative didn't advance for obvious reasons. So yes, to construct it, the repair that's being, we will have to bring pumps in and dewater.
We're going to take out the whole all the cement.
The whole floor will come out. Yeah, so the whole 10-inch thick floor slab will be removed, cut and removed, and then replaced with a new concrete floor.
And do we see any problems with getting the dewatering done?
No, it takes a little bit of time. It takes weeks to get drawdown to get it down. So it's a critical path item that the contractor has to get moving on. But other than that, it's pretty routine.
So you think the repairs, when will they start? The plans won't be till late October, so it won't be after the rains?
There was just a meeting today with the designer and the contractor. It's definitely moving quickly. I mean, time is of the essence. Without getting any type of detailed plans, like those 75% plans, we can't really estimate a schedule without knowing exactly what they have to construct.
I'm just concerned about November if we get our rains like we're supposed to.
Right
in the middle of it, would it be a problem?
It wasn't last winter. And, you know, we worked through, had a couple rain days, but even the heavy rain winter, we fared fine. I don't expect the rains to be, like, other than daily work, like occasional work stoppages for the day, like when it's actively raining. But the drawdown, the dewatering was fine during the rains. It was adequate and kept up. We never had pooling or any type of ponding in the excavations that were an issue.
No, I like this plan.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. That's all.
Okay, thank you. I have a couple. You indicated that the bottom slab is going to be thicker.
I guess I can't say that. Yes, I believe the bottom slab, Ms. Shields, is the bottom slab going to be thicker? Because it's partially offset by those anchors. So I'll let Ms. Shields, she's been involved in more of the meetings recently.
Good evening, Eileen Shields with MKN. Yes, the current concept is that they'll remove a small amount of gravel that's currently underneath the 10-inch slab, about 6 inches, and create a 16-inch section there.
Okay. Okay, so it's going to be maybe 6 inches
That's the current concept. Okay. As Mr. Gent indicated, they're working through the design details, but that's the concept, is the existing 10-inch portion of the slab will be removed. They'll remove 6 inches of gravel, and then it'll be about 16 inches so that the floor is at the same elevation.
Right.
So they're getting thicker going down.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you very much.
Of course.
My other question was, and for lack of a better term, the swirler that...
Yeah.
That was, I believe, somewhat damaged?
Yes.
Is that going to have to be replaced as well?
It's not going to have to be replaced. It'll have to be repaired, but...
Is that the thing that's going off to Denver?
That was the thing that would have happened. If we modified the tank, it would have had to have major alterations.
I
so
see.
It is the same mechanism that we're referring
to. It just
to.
Needs to be repaired.
So yeah, so it's been a little bit and out of plumb, but the manufacturer flew out and inspected it and gave a list to the contractor of what needed to be done to bring it back, and they're going to honor the warranty on it. So it's just going to be repaired a little bit on site.
Okay, very good. It's good to hear. So then the overall warranty of this tank, is there such a thing?
Well, the contractor in California, contractors have to provide a 1-year warranty for all of their services. So upon substantial completion of the project, that clock starts ticking. And so if anything went wrong that was a construction defect, or they would be responsible for coming out and addressing that issue in that first year.
And I know that we had this issue. It raised its ugly head pretty quickly. So do you believe that would be the same scenario once they're done, if there is an issue that any defects would become apparent?
Yeah, I mean, that's always the warranty runs out and then you find an issue. I don't expect to find any issues of this magnitude moving forward. I mean, it's a little bit, I don't have a full control over that, but I don't expect anything of this magnitude to occur on the rest of the construction. So I would expect some electrical issues, some programming issues, a pump maybe not working or failing too soon. Those type of things are more typical. Back in 2016, I stood up the Los Osos wastewater treatment plant and handled all the warranty repairs for that. And so it was, leaking seals and pumps and pretty standard stuff. And the contractor came out and handled it, or sent the supplier that supplied the pump out to handle it. And that's how that stuff usually works.
Okay. So then the big stuff, I'm just thinking, a year on something that costs this much money is a little concerning, but that was the last of my questions. We'll open it up to public comment. Seeing none, we'll close it. Any comments?
Can I just ask one?
Absolutely.
I just want to get it straight. So right now the floor is 10 feet, inches?
10 inches thick, 10
inches thick. So it's going to be removed. And then there'll be 6 inches of gravel taken out. So then the new floor will be 16 inches.
Correct.
And that'll make it the same capacity.
Yeah. So thickened it going underground, it's the floor stays the same, and that's why we still hold all the same volume.
That's gonna stop from the water.
Yes. Yeah.
Pressure.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. That's it.
All right.
So.
So if there are no more questions or comments, do we need a motion, or is this receive and file?
Receive
and file.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, then. Thank you all for that. We'll move on to item 6D, District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
I'll go ahead and take the lead.
Thank you.
Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent. I'm presenting to your board the Plant Operations Report. During the reporting period of August 1st through August 31st, there were no violations of the district's NPDES permit to report. All process values, as shown in our monthly plant data, were within permit limitations. Some operations and maintenance tasks that staff performed were test ran our emergency generator and ran emergency bypass pump. We cleaned up our maintenance building and shop, performed weed abatement throughout the plant grounds. We cleaned out our sludge beds, completed electrical and shed installation for our new polymer pump. We performed a hydraulic flush of the fixed film reactor. We troubleshot and cleaned our brine discharge flow meter. We replaced our float ball valve on our digester number one water seal. We drained and rinsed our chlorine contact tank serpentine channels, checked and marked underground service alerts, repaired handrails and kick plates on our chlorine contact tank, continued monitoring of chlorine levels and foam levels in aeration basins. We installed a new polymer injection line at our splitter box, fabricated a new trailer hitch for our plant cart. We installed a new life rings throughout the treatment facility. Troubleshot our uninterruptible power supply units on programmable logic controllers. We repaired our 2-inch chemical pump and installed new safety signage throughout the treatment plant. Operations staff also completed a multitude of work orders, some training that staff participated in, as the district's OIT staff members continued shadow training with operations and our laboratory staff. Moving on to call-outs, we did have a couple call-outs on August 7th and August 9th. Both call-outs were for a high ORP alarm. Upon arrival on both times, operations staff observed and ensured the system was back to normal following the alarm. Operations staff continued to monitor the system prior to resetting the alarm. Moving on to our 2023 non-serious violations, we do have one exceedance that has not expired. That's due to expire October 19th, and we'll be back at zero violations for the calendar year. Moving on to some photos of staff. Staff recently completed some work around the district's office. They removed some old bushes and weeds, and we actually installed some river rock along with wine barrels with some agave plants, and just kind of freshened up the plant area. It looks really good. Operators that participated in that were operator Justin Music, Mario De Leon, Chris Ragoni, and Nick Kurikawa and Everardo. Let's see. And with that, that concludes my report, my portion of the report. I'm able to answer any questions or pass it over to Jeremy for the administrator's report.
Thank you. Any questions at this point?
Thank you for that report. Just a quick question. When you say we, for the operations staff, how many of you are there?
Now there's, 10? 10 of us?
Yeah, not counting Erica.
There are 11 of us now.
There, three are temporary.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. 11 of you doing a lot of work. The photos look great.
Thank you.
Love the pictures, too, and I'm glad to see you taking pride in the building and fixing it all up. That's great. Thanks. The guys, we really appreciate that.
I will pass that on. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hopping in, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. Quick administrator's report. So on the redundancy project, we're focused on developing the repair strategy for the damaged floor. Obviously, we talked about that. Several operational aspects of the plant can't be turned on. That's one of the issues with the delay, is we should be establishing the biology now, and with that clarifier down, we can't continue that process until the repair is finished. And then, but the contractor's still on site working. They're getting ready to do paving, replace the pavement that's been removed on site and pave the new roadway that was part of the design. Miscellaneous item. So on September 13th, at the request of Director Austin and General Manager Will Clemens here at OCSD, I provided an update regarding the damage to the secondary clarifier and the associated project delay. Their board asked for an in-person update of the damage. And it was really just a repeat of the September 6th board meeting staff report that we had. I just brought that on September 13th and delivered that to the OCSD board and their members of the public. No plant tours on the reporting period, and then a couple tentative items for next month is obviously the update on the secondary clarifier issue, and then we've also been requested to bring forward a resolution recognizing 60 years of SSLOCSD service to our community And I'm targeting November 1st to get that on the board, but it'll be a ceremonial resolution acknowledging the 60 years that since the district was founded. And with that, that completes my administrator's report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
No questions.
Questions? No. Any public comment? Seeing none, we'll close that. And I guess this is just a receive and file as well. Very good. Well, thank you very much, both of you, for your comprehensive reports. You make it this stuff a little easier to understand. So we'll move on to item 7, board member communications. Have we any?
None.
Okay. None for me either. All right, then. Well, we'll move on now to our closed session. Do you want to discuss that? Or
Yes, we'll just announce the item before we adjourn to closed session. As listed in the agenda, the board will convene into closed session to conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D4, just one case.
Thank you. All right, then.
So we're going.
We have the key.
You do have a key? Thanks, Linda. Because Amy was at a conference in... I don't think it happened otherwise.